The message you're about to listen to is a recording from God's Favorite House. It is our prayer that you listen, your life will be transformed, and you will be taken to greater heights in your walk with Jesus. Amen. God bless you as you listen to this message.
Hallelujah. Good morning, everybody. Say good morning to your neighbor to the left and to the right again. So today we are in part 3 of our series on open doors, and we thank God for all the testimonies that we are hearing, the things that God is doing in all our lives, and we pray that God himself will multiply his work, his doors that are opening for us in the mighty name of Jesus. Holy words, long preserved for our work in this world, they reside with God's own heart. Oh, let the ancient words ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come with open hearts. Oh, let the ancient words impart. We have come with open heart. Oh, let the ancient words impart. And so it is and shall be, in the mighty name of Jesus. Revelation chapter 3. Verse 8, I have placed before you an open door that no one can shut. The doors that God has placed before you, in the name of Jesus, no one will be able to shut it in the mighty name of Jesus. God will strengthen and empower you. God will uphold you and usher you himself through the doors. There are a couple of things that we need to do in our lives that triggers open doors and keep the required doors open before us. There are things that we started by looking at the doors that we open, and we are grateful to God as the doors open. And we begin to look at the things that we need to do for the doors to open and to keep the doors open, and many times for generation yet unborn. So the very first one this morning is we need to reorganize. Everybody say reorganize. You need to reorganize. In fact, for a lot of people, the reason they are not seeing the open doors is because there is too much chaos around you. There's too much confusion around you. There's too much disorganization around you. There's too much disorder around you. And doors either are hampered from being opened, or even when they are opened, they are not being identified and recognized, is because of disorder. You need to reorganize. You need to reorganize. There's an interesting story in Genesis 41. Again, it's the story of Joseph, instructive. In Genesis 41, from verse 33 to 40, Joseph reorganized Egypt's resources. He reorganized Egypt's resources during the year of plenty to keep the doors open through the years of famine. And you need to pay attention to this, particularly Genesis 41. It says, from verse 33, it says, therefore, Pharaoh, this is Joseph's counsel to Pharaoh. Therefore, Pharaoh should find an intelligent and wise man and put him in charge of the entire land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh should appoint supervisors over the land and let them collect one fifth of all the crops during the 7 good years. Have them gather all the food produced in the land in the good years that are just ahead and bring it to Pharaoh. Let me pause there. The good years are here. They are ahead of you, right in your nose. The good years are here. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the door is opened. The door is opened. The door is opened. And what the word of God is saying to you and I is this. Reorganize in this year so that you can keep the door open. Verse 36. That way, there will be enough to eat when the 7 years of famine come on the land of Egypt. Otherwise, the famine will destroy the land. Joseph's suggestions were well received by Pharaoh and his officials. So Pharaoh asked his officials, can we find anyone else like this man, so obviously filled with the Spirit of God? Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, since God has revealed the meaning of the dreams to you, clearly no one else is as intelligent or wise as you are. You will be in charge of my court, and all my people will take orders from you. Only I, sitting on my throne, will have a rank higher than yours. I mean, we see Joseph walking into an open door of his life. The door was opened for Joseph that transitioned him from the prison to the palace. And I'm praying that everyone that is in a prison situation, that the door will open, that will transition you to your palace position in the name of Jesus. But Joseph is teaching us something here. That when the door opens, you need to reorganize to keep the door open. When the door opens for abundance, you need to reorganize your finances. Otherwise, because tougher years are coming, the good years are here and they will be good. But guess what? The good years are not going to be forever. Life is in cycles. When the tougher year comes, it is how you organize in the good years that will determine whether you walk and continue to enjoy the open doors of provision, whether you continue to enjoy the open doors of promotion, whether you begin to enjoy and you continue to enjoy the open doors of upliftment that God is bringing your way. So how you organize as you enter one door determines the subsequent doors that will open for you. Are you organized? As you enter, one door will determine the subsequent doors that will open. And if that door will continually open for years to come, if that door will continually open for even for the next generation. So the strategy was simple. 20%. 20%. You get your income. If you're a covenant child with God financially, you pay your tithes or governance of wealth. And I challenge you to keep 20%. If you are working with a tithe, you tithe, you keep 20%, the 70% will still be more than enough. Remember, 20% that was kept aside, saved, invested, not consumed, kept the nation prosperous through the 7 years of famine. So it means that the 70% was even excess. And it may not be one for one, but you need to have a strategy. You need to organize. You need to rearrange. You need to arrange yourself. When doors open, we have the tendency to forget our sorrows. In fact, that's what one of the key things that open doors do to us. You know, the scripture that says that when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. It says, then was our mouths filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. So when people experience open doors, we tend to forget. We tend to forget. In fact, we begin to live as if that's how it's going to be forever. But God is saying to you and I, reorganize. I want you to say to your neighbor, reorganize. You need to reorganize. You need to reorganize. Another example is Jethro saying to Moses, you need to reorganize. You need to reorganize. You need to reorganize. Exodus 18:17-24. He says, this is not good. Now, this is Jethro observing Moses' operations. He says, this is not good. Moses' father-in-law exclaimed, you are going to wear yourself out. And these people too. This job is too heavy a burden for you to handle all by yourself. Now, listen to me and let me give you a word of advice. May God be with you. You should continue to be the people's representative before God, bringing their dispute to Him. Teach them God's decrees and give them His instructions. Show them, now this is so powerful, how to conduct their lives. But select from all the people some capable, honest men who fear God and hate bribes. Appoint them as leaders over groups of 1,000, 100, 50, and 10. They should always be available to solve the people's common disputes. It says, but have them bring the major cases to you. Let the leaders decide the smaller matters themselves. They will help you carry the load, making the tasks easier for you. If you follow this advice, and if God commands you to do so, then you will be able to endure the pressures, and all these people will go home in peace. Moses listened to his father-in-law's advice and followed his suggestions. I pray that you will listen to advice and you will follow suggestions that will open doors for you in the mighty name of Jesus. So Moses here just had an open door of headship, leadership open to him. And he needed to reorganize. And we see that when you read this passage of scripture, it's easy to think that reorganization here is primarily delegation. It is a part of it. But the first thing that Jethro said to Moses was that teach the people the dictates of God. Let the people self-govern. So powerful. Let the people, that when people self-govern, conflict reduce. The problem is, folks have, is that people don't know the dictates of God. Take a marriage, for instance. The couple, husband, the wife, both or one of them, or both of them, don't know the dictates of God. So they don't know how to self-govern. So if you cannot self-govern, you are going to have conflict with your neighbor or your spouse. And when you have conflict, you could say conflicts are natural, but you are unable to resolve the conflict because you don't know the dictates of heaven. If you know the dictates of God, you can self-govern. Marriage counseling issues reduces. Why? Because you are self-governing. So you need to reorganize. Everybody say reorganize. You need to reorganize your life. You need to reorganize. So in case of Moses, he needed to reorganize so that the doors can stay open on individual levels for people and stay open on a national level for Israel. Reorganize. Reorganize. For Joseph, he needed to reorganize Egypt so that the door that was open in the current year can be sustained through the coming years. You will not have a better yesterday. Your tomorrow will be better than your yesterday. In the name of Jesus. So God's open doors require you to reorganize and declutter the things that are behind you before stepping through. There are doors that are opening to you. You may look overwhelmed. The reason you are overwhelmed is because your life is cluttered. You need to reorganize. Moses would have passed out. His life, not due to any fault of his, was disorganized. Disorganized from the point of, if you look at it, it may look organized. Everybody coming to Moses was, they were queuing up, but there were just a lot to do. He was not going to be able to see everybody in the nation of Israel one by one. He needed to organize. He needed to delegate. He needed to have leadership in place. An open door without preparation is usually an opportunity wasted. And open doors without reorganization, preparation that comes through reorganization, is usually an opportunity wasted. Reorganizing isn't about losing control. It's about making room for more, making room for God's plan. You know, when we reorganize, you may need to delegate. And it's not about losing control, it's about making room. Everyone say making room. So the first thing is you need to reorganize. Number two, the second thing you need to do is you need to, and this is interesting, you know, you need to rebrand. Rebrand. Now, when we talk of rebrand, you know, as you're going to see, it's not just about putting on a flashy, you know, facade. It runs deeper than that. It runs deeper than that. Genesis 32, 27 to 28. Jacob was rebranded. He was rebranded. He was renamed Israel. He was rebranded before he can enter into the open doors of blessing that God has for him. In Genesis 32, it says, God now asked him, says, what is your name? The man asked, he replied, Jacob. Your name, in verse 28, will no longer be Jacob, the man told him. From now on, you will be called Israel, because you have fought with God and with men and have won. So, Jacob needed to be rebranded. He needed to be rebranded. There are many of us that your destiny is expecting a new you. Your destiny is expecting a different you. You cannot show up at that door in your current brand. If your brand was Jacob, you cannot show up there with Jacob. It will be access denied. And since your access will not be denied, your Jacob will be rebranded today to Israel. In the name of Jesus. And we see another rebranding in Acts of the Apostles, chapter 9, Acts 9, 19 to 22. Acts 9, 19 to 22. The word of God says that afterwards, verse 19, he ate some food and regained his strength. Saul stayed with the believers in Damascus for a few days, and immediately he began preaching about Jesus in the synagogue, saying, he is indeed the Son of God. All who heard him were amazed. Isn't this the same man, listen to this, who caused such devastation among Jesus' followers in Jerusalem? They asked, and did he come here to arrest them and take them in chains to the leading priests? Saul's preaching became more and more powerful, and the Jews in Damascus couldn't refute his proofs that Jesus was indeed the Messiah. Saul was rebranded as Paul after his encounter, before he could enter into the effectual doors that God was opening for him. Now, for many of us, you may be hearing this and you're like, Pastor, do I need to change my name? Do I need to Now let me break this down. Rebranding has to do with, for the believer, has to do with your identity. In fact, a brand is the identity. It has to do with your identity. To rebrand for us is to come into a higher level of understanding of who you are in Christ, in God. Sometimes God changes your label before He changes your location. Some people may need to even have a physical, an actual name change. Sometimes God changes your label before He changes your location. And rebranding isn't about becoming someone else. It's about aligning with who God says you are. Rebranding is not about, oh, Pastor says we need to rebrand. So I need to become someone else. I need to begin to, to speak for there. I need to, because, you know, where the doors that are opening, when I speak for there, they will listen to me. Listen, it's not about becoming someone else. It's about aligning with who God says you are. You are a prince and you have power with God. That's who God says you are. When you align with that, you are rebranding. I am not a non-entity. I am a prince of God. I have power with God. My words have authority. My words carry power. That is who I am. You walk into that office, you understand that your words carry authority. Your words carry power. So your new identity in Christ is the key to walking through the right doors. So you need to reorganize. You need to rebrand. You need to reorganize, you need to rebrand. Reorganize, you need to declutter your life. You need to put order into your life. You need to put structure into your life. You need to rebrand, you need to step into that person that God is saying that you are. Step into that person, which leads to the third thing. So first we need to reorganize. Number two, we need to rebrand. Number three, we need to realign. The rebranding leads to realignment. Joshua chapter 3, Joshua 3, 3 to 5. It says, then Joshua. This is so powerful. Then Joshua told the people, purify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do great wonders among you. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, I receive this word for you, I receive this word. Purify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do great things among you. In the morning, Joshua said to the priest, lift up the Ark of the Covenant and lead the people across the river. And so they started out and went ahead of the people. The Lord told Joshua, today I will begin to make you a great leader in the eyes of all the Israelites. They will know that I am with you, just as I was with Moses. Now, this is so powerful. Up until now, the Jews, they had come, but by the time they got to this place, God said, realign yourself. Now, if you look at the nation God has taken out of Egypt, they've gone through the Red Sea. They've seen God's provision. They've seen God's abundance. They've seen God. I mean, now they are at the cusp of entering the promised land. The door is opening for them. And God says, realign yourself. I mean, so these people were not realigned. Because God will not say, realign yourself if they were realigned. So it's possible for you to be making progress in God and be taking certain steps. But for you to enter certain doors, you need to realign. Realign. Isaiah 35:8-9. It says, my thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord. And my ways are far beyond anything you could imagine. For just as the heaven is higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. Oof. So God is bigger than we are. God is bigger than we can wrap our minds around. So God is able to take his people on a journey and on progression. However, it says you get to a place like you are today, huge doors are about to open, and God is saying realign, realign, realign. So an open door doesn't help if you are walking in the wrong direction. An open door doesn't help if you are not aligned. You know, the door may be open, but if you are walking in the wrong direction, what's the value? Help, say to your neighbor, realign, my brother. Realign. Realign, my sister. Realign. 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 So God's plans require God's alignment. You need to stay in step with him. His plans requires his alignment. You need to stay. And life happens. Sometimes we stumble. Sometimes we make mistakes. Sometimes we take a turn. But God will realign you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. God's hand rest upon you for realignment in the mighty name of Jesus, because the doors to the promised land is blasting open and you are stepping into it in the mighty name of Jesus. So realigning is about shifting your focus from your will to his way, from your will to his way. Story is told of a father that says to his son, son, get into the car. Now, the background to this is that the boy had always wanted to go to this amusement park, this, you know, park where children play, they have a lot to eat, there are a lot of, you know, there are superheroes, I mean, you know, stuff. The boy has dreamt about it. He always wanted to go. That was his, I mean, if he had a prayer point for open doors, it would be the open doors into the amusement park. But the dad said to him, son, get in the car. The dad didn't disclose where they were going. And the boy was like, oh, dad, no. I'm enjoying my TV show. I'm watching a show on TV. I'm really having fun. And dad says, you can come back to the show. And the boy finally, grudgingly, paused the show and got into the car and was complaining all the way. Oh, dad, you just took me away from my show. Oh, I was really enjoying my show. Yaddy, yaddy, yaddy. And the dad, now obviously ignoring him, now takes a turn into the amusement park. And the boy was like, wow, dad, I love you. You're the best dad in the world. You're the best dad in the world. When you were stuck on the game, and that's how many of us are. You know, God is saying, let go of your will. Choose my way. That thing you want, it's in God's plan for you, greater than you can imagine. In his presence, there's fullness of joy. At his right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. God is set and bound to do immeasurable more than you can think or imagine. Realigned with him. So we want to pray with you today. You are here. You're like, Pastor, can you pray with me? Can you pray with me? I need to reorganize. My life is in shambles. My life is chaotic. I need to reorganize, Pastor. Or you're saying, Pastor, I need to rebrand. I need to sort out my identity in God. Or you are saying, Pastor, I need to realign. I'm so at variance with God. I need to realign. We want to pray with you. If you are saying, Pastor, I need to reorganize. My life is in shambles. I need to reorganize around Christ. Number two, you're like, Pastor, I need to rebrand. I need to sort out my identity, my brand identity in Christ. Or I need to realign. I need to realign. If you're in any of those three categories, they're talking about the first layer of those three categories, it's talking about coming to Christ or reestablishing relationship with Christ. We want to pray with you wherever you are. You're saying, Pastor, that is me. That is me. We want to pray with you as we turn it over to the RP.
Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. Lord, we give you praise. We thank you, Lord, because your word says you stand at the door of our hearts and you knock. And when we open these doors, you come in and you make a meal with us. Father, in the name of Jesus, for everyone surrendering their hearts to you this morning that have opened up their hearts, we ask that you come in and you begin to transform them, that you reorganize them, you realign them, you rebrand them in your name. Let their lives, our Lord and our God, never stay the same. Honor and glory we give unto your wonderful name. Honor and glory we give unto the name of the Lord. In Jesus' precious name we have prayed. Amen. We're still praying. Papi said something and I'll quote. He says, when the doors open, you need to reorganize to keep the door open. So I'm going to pray a few prayers for ourselves. You're already in your new doors, open doors. But like Joseph, you need to reorganize so that the years of surplus can sustain the years of shortage that may crop up. The years of surplus, the doors that you open can sustain generations. So I want you to just begin to pray for yourself that as the Lord has opened doors for you, that he will help you reorganize to keep those doors open in the mighty name of Jesus. Let's lift up our voices. Father, even as you have opened doors unto me, opened doors unto my family in this season, O Lord, that you help me, Lord, reorganize so that these doors shall stay open for generations. They're open for generations to come. Joseph reorganized. Joseph had the wisdom for Egypt to be able to sustain his years for surplus, so that the famine years did not cause them to be bankrupt. Pray for yourself that the Lord will give you wisdom to reorganize even in this year of open doors for the remaining years in the decade of destiny and in the years to come. To reorganize spiritually, to reorganize financially, to reorganize relationally. David reorganized his life from a commoner to being a royal king and prince before God, and his entire family enjoyed from that reorganization. Matola atala bragedo siete mandele boshkada e embre tosa tala bakasianda. Father, we give you praise and all the glory. Thank you, faithful Father. Honor and glory we give unto your wonderful name. In Jesus' precious name we have prayed. 1 Corinthians 14:40 says, let all things be done in decency and in order. We're still going to pray. perhaps there are things that are out of order in your life. You want to cry out to the Lord this morning and ask Him that from this moment on, that Lord, you begin to order my life. Come on, speak to the Lord. Order my life, Lord. Order my life. Oh, everything that is out of order, order my life. Father, bring clarity and structure to the areas of my life that are out of order in the name of Jesus. Whether they be my relationships, whether they be my finances, oh, my work for you, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus, my spiritual engagements. Let there be order, my Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus, I speak order into my family. I speak order into my finances. I speak order into my relationships. Oh, and every area of my life, my Father, that needs reorganization. Oh, Father, we thank you. Oh, we give you praise and all the glory. In Jesus' precious name, we have prayed. Amen. Proverbs 16:9, NIV. In their hearts, humans plan their course, but the Lord establishes His steps. God will establish our steps this year in Jesus' name. So you're going to say, Father, according to your word, I walk in step with the Holy Spirit. Now begin to speak to the Lord that you walk in step with the Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus, your way will give way for its own way. Your will will give way for the way of the Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus, Malakashiada, align my heart, my plans, my priorities with your perfect will, O God of heaven. In the mighty name of Jesus, Rebrato Solo Kakaladalia. Now begin to surrender any area of your life. Ah, Takasianda, Ada Kosolita, Rabragade, Talanda, Alianda. Any area of your life where you may have strayed. Any area of your life where you have taken control from the Lord. Say, I surrender it to you, Lord. And I trust you to direct my paths. Oh, I trust you to direct my life. I trust you to direct my year. Even as I walk through these open doors, I trust you for every direction, O God of heaven. That I may maximize the blessings, oh, in these open doors. Thank you, faithful Father. Honor and glory we give unto your wonderful name. In Jesus' precious name we have prayed. Amen and amen. Let's give a big hand unto the Lord. Thank you, Father. Amen.